Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMind.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. What do these movies have in common? Cockneys versus zombies, aliens and cowboys, Bambi meets Godzilla. Obviously, they're all movies with unexpected combinations. So this week, I'm looking at two new movies, though nothing like the ones I just mentioned, combine things in ways you never expect. There's a documentary about the historic meeting of two very different directors, and a ghostly horror movie set in Russia.
Тили-тили-бом, закрой глаза скорее. Кто-то ходит за окном и стучится в двери.
Queen of Spades, The Dark Rite, written and directed by Sviatoslav Podgaevsky. It's a snowy day in a Russian city. Four teenagers, Anya, Matya, Matvey, and Seryozha, are playing a game. There's an urban myth that says you can summon the Queen of Spades, a dead spirit, if you draw a door on a mirror in lipstick by candlelight. And then you repeat her name three times. Queen of Spades, Queen of Spades, Queen of Spades. Don't try this at home, kids. In Russian, of course. Naturally, nothing happens. Well, not right away. Matyev is a jock. Seryozha, who's played by Sergei Pokhodeyev, who is in the great movie Leviathan, is a nerd with glasses. Katya is an older redhead, played by Valeria Dmitrieva, and Anya, played by Alina Babak. She's tough, but she's still just a 12-year-old girl who lives with her divorced mom. Okay, so the four friends go back to their respective apartments, and it's at night that the scary stuff begins. Turns out the Queen of Spades, they discover on the internet, was a Russian aristocrat who murdered kids for their money. So she was caught, and they shaved off her head, and she was left to roam the streets in black rags, hence the Queen of Spades. It was 100 years ago. But her spirit, if summoned, is only visible in dreams and in mirrors, but it comes to you by night with a scissors to snip off your hair and then horribly kill you. So when the kids start dying one by one, Anya and her parents, played by Igor Khrypunov and Evgenia Loza, flee from the city. Will the ghost follow them there? Yeah, you betcha. Eventually, they track down a former doctor, played by Vladimir Selezniov, in a dacha in the woods. He lives alone with just a little bird in a cage because the canary, like a canary in a coal mine, he says, can detect her presence before she gets there. And he has a special grudge to deal with against her in particular. He's an expert at getting rid of ghosts, but can anyone defeat the Queen of Spades? Okay, this is a good, scary movie. It's like those, has a feeling of those creepy Japanese films from the 90s, like Ring and Darkwater, directed by Nakata Hideo, and with a good dose of The Exorcist and possession movies thrown in. So the plot is pretty conventional, but what I found really interesting was the look of the film. So you watch it, you say, that's what a Russian funeral looks like, or a hospital, or even a public toilet with curved tile walls. Like, I never knew people upholster their front doors on the inside. It's all great austerity and cold creepiness. That acting is generally good and the suspense keeps you watching, but it's the look that I really like from this ghostly Russian pick. Hitchcock Truffaut, directed by Kent Jones. So Francois Truffaut is known today as a great French director and one of the founders of the Nouvelle Vague, the French New Wave. But before he was a director, he was a film critic, a good profession. And as a young movie enthusiast, he was taken under the wing of André Bazin and brought into the fold of an extremely influential magazine in Paris known as the Cahiers du Cinéma. It's the Cahiers du Cinéma and Truffaut himself that changed the way we all look at movies as a body of work from a single artist. Directors became auteurs, the authors of a series of books, a series of films. Before that, they were employees of a big studio with a huge factory mentality in Hollywood. They're important and well paid, but they're just a cog in the wheel. But in the 1960s, the fledgling French director wrote to the incredibly successful Alfred Hitchcock. He asked if he could meet for a week in Hollywood for a series of detailed interviews for a book. Now, Hitchcock was rich and famous and successful, and his movies were often hits, but what he didn't have was critical praise. He was dismissed as unimportant, popular entertainment, and he never, ever won an Oscar. So Hitchcock said, yes. And the result of this was Hitchcock Truffaut, an incredibly influential book that served as a Bible for all the next generation of future directors. This film, with the same name, also Hitchcock Truffaut, shows the original recordings and the photos that were taken from these interviews and illustrates it with crucial film stills, storyboards, movie clips from the two directors' works, and all the directors that they influenced. So Scorsese, Fincher, Linklater, Anderson, Paul Schrader, Olivier Assayas, Peter Bogdanovich, Kurosawa, Kiyoshi, list goes on and on. And they all appear in the movie to talk about this incredible book. So you find out from watching this that Hitchcock didn't have a great relationship with his actors. He called them cattle. They're just like cows that had to be moved around. And it turns out that he was a total perv. And so is most of his characters. Like in the movie Vertigo, he calls Scotty, that's the Jimmy Stewart character, he says he's a necrophiliac. That's why he can never have sex with a woman who looks just like his dead wife, as long as she's alive. So anyway, if you're into movies, film criticism, cinema studies, or if you're a filmmaker yourself, this film is a must-see. It's a fascinating documentary. Queen of Spades, The Dark Rite opens today in Toronto. Check your local listings. And Hitchcock Truffaut opens as part of a TIFF Cinematheque retrospective running all summer long with films by these two great directors. And stay tuned. I'll be covering some of the films later on this summer. Go to tiff.net for showtimes. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.